Welcome to a Listen to Older Voices Golden Moments program. I'm brought to you through the Toorak Times. This is a repeat program from our archives that we believe has merit enough to rebroadcast so that the story and the person's life can be shared with those who may have missed it the first time. Hello, I'm Rob Greaves and welcome to the second and final part of The Life and Times of Bessie Connolly. In part one, we learned of just how badly the family suffered during the Great Depression. One example being that they were forced to sleep on pine needles on the riverbank at Heidelberg. Things improved marginally for the family, finding a variety of homes. But her father's alcoholism created a miserable life for all of the family. Schooled by Catholic nuns, Bessie was forced to leave school at an early age. Eventually, she marries Bob, a reformed drinker, and her life improves. This week, Bessie continues to reminisce and shares many stories, including the death of Bob from cancer. She also tells us how she obtained her driving license, and yes, it's one of those amazing country town stories that'll make you smile. We learn how she meets and marries Graham Connolly. Blessed twice with wonderful husbands, her happiness is again stolen when Graham passes from emphysema. How does she cope? In summary, and in her words, you don't learn to forget them, you just learn to live without them. Finally, she has some wonderful advice for how to have a happy relationship, and there are just three things you should do. But first, listen and learn. We now pick up with Bessie talking about moving from the radio era to television.
And then you ranged out into TV when you could afford one.
1956, Olympic Games and television all at once.
Yeah, Bob said, we'll have it coloured television here by the weekend. And I said, oh, we can't. How? He said, I'm determined I'll be the first one in the street to have a coloured TV.
But hang on, what about the first black and white one? When did you remember getting that?
Yes, well, that was a black and white. And then we graduated to a coloured TV.
To colour when colour came out, yes. But television when it first came out was quite a fascinating thing for us, wasn't it?
It was. Like, you look at a black and white film now on a television, you'd think, heavens, is that what they were like?
But it was. Everything was black and white.
Yes.
Not just the movies,
no,
everything. And the little tiny screens too,
yes,
weren't they?
Yes, very small.
Yes. Did you have neighbourhood kids and things like that coming around looking at your television?
No, they couldn't come because... I never had any playmates, only at school.
Oh, so that's you had a black and white television with mum and dad,
yeah,
did
you? Yeah, yes.
So before you married?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes. But drink was his downfall.
Yes.
He was a brilliant man with a brilliant brain.
But wasted.
Wasted.
Yes.
But I've my second son, who is now living still, and he's brilliant. He's an A-grade mechanic, motor mechanic, diesel mechanic. And he's got all his drilling machines.
Oh, he's got his own workshop.
Yes, he's got a huge workshop in Yarra Glen his own business.
Great.
Yes. My side of bringing them up, I think, was pretty good.
It was pretty good.
Not that I'm looking for feathers in caps or anything.
I think if you have, you deserve it. Did you get to do any travel after you'd got married?
No, there was never a jolly cent.
Too busy and too money going into families.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, that's right. We brought the four of them up and educated them.
Right.
They all went to Tech. Two went to Tech and two went to Hillsville High School.
Right.
Because Raymond is the youngest son. He was stricken down with diabetes. Anyway, I suppose I should be grateful to have my health as good as it is for 77 and a half.
I've got to say, and I know it's serious, I can look you in your eyes and say this, you look fabulous for your age.
Yes, thank you.
You would not pick you for 77.
You wouldn't pick me for having worked so hard, would you?
I wouldn't pick you for somebody who'd gone through the stresses and strains you've gone through.
No, I took all these things as they came and thought, well, I'll just wear it.
Yes, yes. And the fact that you've got this wonderful smile, both not only on your face but in your eyes too,
yes,
says that you're
you.
A person that's fairly content in themselves at the moment.
Yes, yes. They're too busy paying off houses that are far too big, far too extravagant. Like, who wants a television room and a theatre room in their home. They should just concentrate on giving their family a good home life and seeing that they get a good education and things like that.
It's hard not to look at what's going on around us today and wonder just what's happened to this whole thing called family life.
Yes.
I don't want to be judgmental, but when we look at what's going on with the young kids today,
yes,
there seems to be more violence, there seems to be more anger,
it's
lack
terrible.
Of focus.
We never saw that sort of thing.
No. We didn't. I don't know about you, but I remember as a young person, my parents used to sleep in summer with the doors open.
Yes. You know? Be too afraid to...
Do that today, that's right.
That's right, yes.
Do you, as somebody who's lived through quite a lot, have any opinions as to why you think our society has developed the way it has, particularly with young people? I'm not blaming young people.
I don't know what the answer is for it, because they've got to have everything immediately, the people these days.
Yes.
Whereas we had to work and work and save and save and get a fridge or something, or a television, or even a radio in the beginning.
Even the radio. Yes. And you valued them and you worked that hard, didn't you?
That's right.
And yet young people get married today, they want everything in
everything
the house
with
the movie.
Everything must be push button so that they can, you know, ring up on the mobile phone and have tea cooked by the time they got home.
Yes.
It's so different.
You must have seen a lot of things change over the years.
Certainly
what are some of the things you've seen that have had the biggest impact, do you think, in your life that you've seen in terms of change?
They don't have any, as you say, family life. Very little.
That's a big change, yes.
Yeah, that's too much of a change.
Yes.
Because I think they need the love of the mother and father until they're quite old.
Well, do we ever, for people in our generation, I've got a few years to catch up on you, but I'm in my 60s.
Yes.
I don't know that we ever lose that love for our parents, do
we?
It's something that's just, at our children, it's
always there. That's right.
And I can't pinpoint when this really stopped being this way, but I agree with you. It doesn't appear to be like that anymore.
No, it doesn't. It's such a shame.
Yes, indeed.
It is.
Going back to your own family.
Yes.
Your family's growing up. What are you doing to keep yourself occupied and focused? Because as they're growing up, they're becoming more independent.
Yes.
You didn't go back to work, did you?
Well, no. I worked at the only place there was to work in Yarra Glen when we lived there was the hotel. There was no other...
How ironic is that? Yeah, she ended up working in a hotel.
Yes, that's right. And Raymond often says to me, "Mum, I don't know how you could have done that. I was there 16 years. Cook, waitress, housemaid."
Whoa, you worked hard. Were there any times in that job, though, that you can look back and go, "Okay, that wasn't too bad"? Or was it a chore?
Oh, the job was a good job.
It was a good
job. And they were nice people, luckily. And I said when I went there, said to the boss, I said, "Look, I'll do anything you like me to do in the hotel, but I won't serve drink." "Oh no," he said, "I understand. I know what your life must have been like." I said, "Yeah, I don't think you do, John. I don't think you could have ever imagined even."
Well, look, I mean, I've sat and talked to you for half an hour. And we've talked a lot about your early family life.
Yes.
And I still couldn't sit here and look you in the face and say, "I understand."
Because
it's something I think you've got to go through, don't
you? Yes, you do, definitely. Yes.
So you stopped work at 16 years is a long time.
Yes.
Roughly how old were you when you finished work?
I finished work over there. I had to leave because I thought, well, it's time to leave before I start cracking up in health.
Yeah. So how old would you have been roughly? In your 50s, 40s?
Yes, 50. I had my 50th birthday over there.
Okay. So what did you do? Did you become a gardener, a cook?
A cook. Housemaid, that's cleaning the rooms after the people come to stay.
But that's at the hotel, isn't it?
Yeah, the hotel.
Yeah, but once you left the hotel...
Home here. I used to cut the wood and mow the grass and dig the garden.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay, so I was going to say, what did you do when you stopped work? You didn't stop work.
You just worked
in your own
This
place.
Has been a bit of a blow to me because I got had a sort of a breakdown.
Right.
Not mentally.
Physically.
And the sons, of course, panicked and, oh, what's happened to Mum, you know? And they put me in here.
Yes.
It's a beautiful place and they're so kind to you here and, you know, the food's beautiful.
Everybody I've spoken to here says that same thing.
I can't, it's not home. You can't have a cat, you can't have a garden.
It's not the same.
It's not, no.
That's reality.
But that's what we've got to look forward to, most of us.
Yes.
And this is Listen to Older Voices, Ageless Stories on Ageless Radio.
So what happened to your husband? Did he pass on?
Yes, with cancer.
He died of cancer?
He died of cancer in 1984.
Was that unexpected or did you know it was unexpected?
It was unexpected. But he'd been, you know, the grinding dust off...
From being
car brakes and that, making machine pieces of ordinary steel into a carburetor or something like that, because it would have inhaled everything and anything.
Ah, yes. So, of course, the early brake linings in cars too.
They were fierce.
Asbestos, weren't they?
That's right, they were.
Oh dear.
Yes.
That must have been a real blow for
you. It was. He was 70 when he died.
Look, I mean, some people say, oh, that's a good age. I say to you, I think that's young.
That is young.
Yes.
Yes, you're only as young as you feel for a start.
You should have had many more years together.
That's right, we should have.
Yes.
But, I was left floundering with the kids when he died.
Of course.
And they were all torn apart and distraught and, you know, that was a difficult time I went through.
Yes.
So I turned out and worked again in... houses round the neighbourhood, Yarra Glen and Dixon's Creek and round about there.
Right.
Oh, while I was, I meant to tell you, while I was at the hotel, I thought, well, we had a house there in the town, just a modest little fibro house that we'd paid off, and I'd walk down and walk to work. And I'd do the shopping and walk home. I got a bit sick of this after a while. And I thought, I think I'll save some money and get a car and a licence.
Okay, so you didn't have a licence until then.
Yes, didn't have a licence.
Tell us about getting your licence.
Oh, it was fine. A lady that drove a military truck in the war, she was funny, she was a bit of a wag, a bit rough, you know, how American women, you could imagine, driving trucks would be like. But she taught me to drive, and she taught me to drive well.
Right.
And I went down one day. I learned to drive on the Dixon's Creek Road.
That's an achievement.
Yes, it was an achievement.
Dixon's Creek Road.
It was. And anyway, one day I plucked up the courage, and I went in to see the policeman in the station at Yarra Glen. And he said, hello, what brings you in? What can I do for you? And I said, I'm wondering if I can book in for my licence. And he had a broad grin, and I thought, He said, I said, when it's convenient for you. And he said, what about right now? So out I went.
You weren't ready for that, though.
No, not quite. I didn't think I was. And to boot, he asked me every question in that book.
They don't do that anymore.
No.
And you knew enough to get through it?
I did.
Well
I did.
Done.
Yeah, I did.
What about the driving test itself? Was that?
Oh, that was a piece of cake.
Yeah.
He said, "Can you back 60 yards in a straight line?" I said, "Yes." And he said, "I know where you've been and how you've been. I've watched you on the Dixon's Creek Highway." He said, "Here's your license."
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, how good was that?
That wasn't it good.
I've been
watching
you.
I went home, and you know what men are like.
Oh, yes.
I said, "Oh." He said, "Well, ha ha ha, how did you go?" I said, "Oh, I've got it, look." What?
The jaw dropped.
Oh, what?
And all of a sudden you've got this freedom.
Yes, yes. I no longer had to walk to work or carry everything home.
Yes.
So I thought, oh, this is great now. And I never put a scratch on any one of the cars and never had an accident.
That's
it was only a little Volkswagen, but it was lovely.
It was yours?
It was independence.
Yes.
I often have a chuckle about that.
that was a really another major turning point in some ways in your life.
Yes.
You know, amongst many major turning points.
That's right, yes.
That independence. And not only that, the achievement.
That's right, yes.
Of actually doing it.
Yes, that's right.
That's great.
It is, isn't it? Well, I thought it was.
Oh, I absolutely agree.
Listen to older voices, revisiting through recollections.
Now, you mentioned before we started the interview, we have talked a little bit about your children.
Yes.
The unfortunate passing of your eldest child.
Yes.
What age was he?
That's Robert. He was born in 56 and he died a couple of years ago in the hospital in the city. He was married. I saw him married and they moved to his family, moved to Yarrawonga.
Right.
And they'd been living up there for 5 or 6 years and he'd suddenly got ill.
And I believe it was cancer as well,
yes.
Is that correct?
It was cancer in the brainstem. Shocking thing.
No cure.
So Rhonda and I would drive up and down every day to see him. She was a devoted wife to him,
yes.
And they were very happy, and they've got three beautiful children growing up now, of course.
Doesn't
28,
matter.
30.
Yes.
And they're beautiful kids, and they're all done well in the world.
Yeah.
So I've got a lot to be thankful for.
You have got a lot to be thankful
for.
The grandchildren
are
something, because I'm sure you see something of Robert in them.
Oh, I do. I do.
But at the same time, we're not supposed to bury our children, are we?
No, we are not.
No. That must have been a very difficult period for you.
Oh, shocking. That was what made me have that bit of a breakdown.
A breakdown?
Yeah.
Not surprised.
Yes.
Not surprised. You know, you're a woman that's gone through a lot.
Yes, hell on earth.
Everybody, exactly.
They talk about hell on earth.
You've been there.
I've been there, I think.
Yes, and back.
Yes. When it comes to your own flesh and blood.
A terrible, terrible thing.
Yes, yes.
But now we look at the other side of which we mentioned. You've got the grandchildren.
Yes.
Any boys?
Yes, three.
Any of them? Three of them?
Yes, three.
Any of them show traits of Robert?
Yes, that's right.
But do any of them remind you of him?
Oh, yes, they're all like peas in a pod.
Are they?
Yes. Yes, it's very happy times to remember and very sad ones.
Of course.
But you've got to be prepared to cope with that.
Whether we like it or not, it is part of who we are, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
I mean, living and dying, it's all part of being a human.
It is.
Being,
it is.
And we come into this world, and whether we want it or not, we know we have to pass eventually.
Yes, that's right.
I look at you, and notwithstanding what you've been through, and notwithstanding that you have had a health breakdown, I hope you have many years left yet.
Oh, thank you.
But when that time eventually comes, and you pass on, how would you like to be remembered by your family and friends?
Oh, I'd just like to be remembered for the way I struggled to keep them all together for a start.
That was a major achievement.
And being alive long enough to see each one get married and, you know.
Yes.
All that sort of thing.
But that's what you have been able to achieve. How would you like them to think of you, though?
Oh. Well, I know they're all very fond of me. Yes, I had a house too, I omitted to remember to tell you. I bought a house a beautiful weatherboard house here in Healesville in Smith Street.
Right.
Paid it off after Bob had died. And in between that, there was another man I met out working on one of these jobs.
Oh, okay.
I used to go and clean kennels and houses for people.
This was when you were doing the rounds?
Yes.
And you got the car to help you?
Yes, that's right.
And you met another man?
Oh, yes. And
And what was his name?
His name was Graham. Graham Connolly. That's the name. When you said it's in Irish, yes. Yes.
So
he was the most wonderful thing that ever came into my life.
How did you meet?
On a job working there. He was building they had a horse stud, and he was building the stud master's quarters.
Okay.
And I was cooking and cleaning the lady's house for her. And that's how I met him.
At what point did it go from just being, well, you're the builder and I'm the cleaner and hello, how are you,
a little
bit more?
He just came in for a coffee a few times, and the lady liked me very much and was good to me. And she said to me afterwards, she said, I thought you'd just click like that, because she said, he's such a wonderful man and so happy-go-lucky. She said, I thought you'd make it off together, the two of you.
So how long did you know each other before he actually asked you to marry him?
Oh, 3 or 4 years.
Well, that's quite a long time.
It was.
Right.
Yes. And he was the most wonderful thing, as I say. He was always there for me and so happy and so helpful.
Well, what were some of the things you did together? You got married and you set up a home.
Yes, home.
What were the things you shared in common other than being married?
Oh, yes, but he was a glazier.
Right.
As well, and a builder.
A builder and a glazier.
Yes, yes.
Well, what were some of the things you liked to do together?
Oh, I used to go out in the truck with him.
Oh, when
he
was, really?
And help him on jobs.
Okay.
Yes.
And he enjoyed that, did he?
Oh, yes,
that's
he loved it.
Maybe
we always loved to be together. We lived for one another.
Oh, how excellent was that?
The sweet, sweet memories you gave of me. You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Take one fresh and tender kiss.
You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Add one stolen night of bliss.
You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
One girl, one boy, some grief, some joy, memories are made of this.
Memories you gave of me.
Don't forget a small moonbeam.
You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Fold in lightly with a dream.
You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Your lips and mine, two sips of wine. Memories are made of this.
You can't beat the memories you gave.
Then add the wedding bells, the one house where lovers dwell. 3 little kids for the flavor. Stir carefully through the days, see how the flavor stays. These are the dreams you will savor.
Sweet, sweet.
His blessings from above.
You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Serve it generously with love.
You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
One man, one wife, one love through life. Memories are made of this.
You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Memories are made of this.
Listen to older voices. The magic of memories.
And how about your family? Did they?
Oh, they thought he was wonderful.
That's very unusual.
Yes.
Gee, you were blessed again.
I know, blessed again.
Goodness me.
Yes.
I feel compelled to ask, what happened?
He got emphysema and died. And I thought, this is the end of the world for me.
I can imagine you must have thought that.
I'd had nothing left.
You go up and you come down, and you go up and you put down again.
Yes, yep. But I clung on to the little place. It was a dear little place out opposite the golf course in Healesville here.
Right.
And I kept on there for 3 years, and it was on an acre.
That's
and I had to cut the blasted grass and cut the wood and various other things.
But, Bessie, I've got to say, if it had been somebody else sitting here, I would have said, oh, my goodness me, how did you cope? Yeah. But I'm beginning to see that you just take these things in your stride and just do it. They've got to be done.
Yes, that's right.
It's a fabulous philosophy.
I thought I'd never, ever, I don't think I ever will. You don't learn to forget them. You just learn to live without them. And look back on the years you had together.
And remember the, for the good times they were.
What a perfect time it was.
Yes.
Yes.
If there were young couples about to get married or even married listening to this program now, what would you say to them as a secret for having a happy relationship?
Happiness. Love one another. Trust one another. Always believe in one another.
And good things will happen.
And good things will happen.
Bessie, I think that's a wonderful way probably for us to finish this program. It's a lovely bit of philosophy.
Yes.
Can I say it's been really delightful talking with you.
Oh, thank you so much.
And thank you for being on the program.
Yes, thank you.
Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Wesley Mission Victoria. The program is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is brought to you through the Toorak Times.